Carbondale Mayor Mike Henry is joining me this morning. First off, Mike, long time no see. You been all right?
Oh, yeah, I've been doing fine. I like to wake up to a forecast like you just gave us,
yeah,
too.
Especially for this weekend, because I plan on doing some goofing off if I
can. Oh, yeah, me too.
Hey, do you have election takeaways from last night, whether it's the fair tax, which you had endorsed, or the Supreme Court race, or the local races for state's attorney? I mean, what are your takeaways from last night?
Well, you know, it's our election, and first and foremost, we have to be thankful that we have an open and free election process in this country, and we get out, and I hope people always get out and vote, and like everyone knows I did, but much of it is we have to agree to disagree and hopefully do it kindly to each other, but we knew this was going to be a close one, particularly in our presidential run, and obviously it is.
You know, Mayor Mike Henry would be, I think, the first to say you have one of the most diverse communities by far in Southern Illinois.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? And I know that comes with its own complications when you're the mayor. But I've been seeing this and being shared with this by insiders now concerned about tonight. There was a flyer that has been moving around Carbondale and shared on social media. I'm not going to read it all because I don't want to publicize it too much more than what we are. Emergency Mobilization for Democracy and Liberation. Have you seen this, Mike?
I've heard about it. I haven't seen the flyer itself.
Basically, the short story is, regardless of who wins the 2020 election, the social movements for real democracy and justice must continue. So they're saying in this that it doesn't matter who won or who wins the presidential election, they're going to be in Carbondale tonight. And they are, call it a march caravan. My understanding is local law enforcement is already preparing. And when I say local, I mean Illinois State Police.
Right, right. And our guys are on it, too. They were aware of this yesterday, I believe, is when they told me about it.
A march appears to run from Tower Square 4P to a march or, quote, quick caravan to the federal building at 5.
Yeah. And right now, we're viewing this to be a small group. It's pretty much our local folks, a couple of probably up to four different groups, small groups here. So we're thinking we might see 50 or 60 people at the very most.
Listed are five groups in this particular flyer.
Five.
But see, you know what, I can't help but mention this because after the Trump rally coming through town, I watched that video, the confrontation with the Illinois State Police. I waver in between being painful to watch and infuriating to watch. You?
Yeah, I was actually on the north edge of Carbondale, my business, and somebody called me and said, man, traffic's a mess downtown and they got protesters and whatever. So I drove into town. And the Trump rally was going through, and of course they're honking their horns and having a lot of fun and just going straight through Carbondale. We had demonstrators started laying down on the highways and that kind of thing, so state police were actually escorting the Trump parade through Southern Illinois. And so we started detouring the Trump parade, and the protesters kept trying to go and block it and this sort of thing. So it turned into a big traffic mess, but that was as bad as it got. And again, it's our same frequent flyers that were causing the issues, and these same groups that we're talking about tonight, so or today.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm a great admirer of the patience illustrated by the Illinois State Police in that confrontation in the multiple videos I viewed.
Yeah, they did, and they understand these groups, and we do too here very well, and so we typically, you know, if we pick it up on social media and we don't hear from them, we call them and say, which way do you want to go? We're going to escort you, and so we try to be proactive to keep everybody in the community safe, and that's been working fairly well. It causes some traffic problems and so on and so forth. But our last big one was probably 300 or more people that marched from the middle of Carbondale at City Hall all the way down to the police station and cross the railroad track.
Right, I remember that one, yeah.
And I was at the police station. I hadn't even thought about trains, but our police were in contact with the train, with not Illinois Central, but
Canadian National.
And they had a train coming, and the protesters were crossing the tracks. They weren't sitting on the tracks or anything, but they're just kind of standing real close. And so we had officers right there at the crossing. I was at the police station, and I could see them. And we radioed out to them and said, "Let them know this train is coming." And Canadian National says they can't get it stopped. And so being proactive on all this, it wasn't an issue. The protesters cleared the tracks, and the train actually did get stopped about a quarter of a mile away from that intersection where they were crossing. But these trains don't stop on a dime.
Right. Yeah, and people don't understand that sometimes. And quite frankly, when it comes to blocking traffic, if you want to show me your level of dedication, do it in front of a train.
Because
I think people don't realize that sometimes. Mike, you know, there's another issue. You and I have been watching this, and I know you with a great deal of, and I know this has been tough, and that's the Carbondale Park District. And I find this interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong, the city council has now okayed the creation of a charitable fund for the city park system, and it's interesting. There are limits on spending when it comes to this, but this is an attempt to kind of start to ease the park system into Carbondale as a whole. Is that
no? They're coming one at a time. The park facilities decided about 6 months ago not to renew leases on two parks, which one is sort of our Keystone Park in west side of Carbondale. Turley Park, right along Route 13, and another one was Attucks Park. We have another park that is south of Carbondale on our city reservoir.
Yeah,
that is Evergreen Park.
One of my favorites.
Yes, one of mine too. We take our dogs down there. It's about a quarter of a mile from us, but we take our dogs and walk them there and let them run in the ball diamond. But it was in very, very bad state of disrepair and significant state of disrepair, and the city came up with a $2 million grant, and we're going to work on repairing the roads, which were no longer ADA compliant. The walkways were no longer ADA compliant, and the restrooms didn't work. So we're going to fix all of that, and that is a long-term lease, and we have informed the park district that there's a cancellation clause in the lease, and we have to give them a year's notice. So we have done that on that park, and they haven't decided exactly what they want to do, but we would like to see them just say, don't worry about the notice and let us take it over and make it the kind of park it should be, is what we want to do. So
the city of Carbondale threw $1,000 in this charitable fund to get it started. No payroll, I think, is allowed on that, maybe no equipment. It's really about upkeep and maintenance?
Right. And we actually have a foundation that is running this foundation for us. And I hope I don't misquote the number, but it's under 5%. I think it's 3.5% of contributions is all they charge to do all the filings, all the paperwork, all that kind of thing.
Good.
And which is really interesting. I'd never heard of it before, but they're a not-for-profit foundation themselves, and they help other foundations operate.
Right.
Not-for-profit foundations.
And I've known people that have headed those foundations. As long as you got good people in charge, you're in good shape. Now, there's the thing I don't understand, Mike, and this is big picture when I try to stand around. Did the park board break itself? Did it go broke? Did it spend too much money? It couldn't stay afloat? Why is the park district walking away? What created this system in the beginning? Because it was huge. It was its own taxing body in Carbondale. And is it a failed government entity, taxing body? What's your description of this process and why it began?
I think it's the golf course that they built many years ago. It's been refinanced at least twice. And that's very bad to refinance bonds because it costs you more and more money. And they just have not managed their money well over the years, and not just the last 5 or 6 years, over 20 years, 25 years.
Okay.
And so they keep increasing their property taxes every year. and I had a meeting with a group that I call my hogs, which is heads of government, and it's a school superintendents, park district, city of Carbondale, and you know, I asked the park director yesterday, are you going to raise your property taxes again this year since you don't have these parks to take care of? She said, yes, but it's only going to be by the cost of living. And I'm like, you don't have near the cost that you that you have had, because we've taken over three parks already.
Right.
Or four, actually four.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kept thinking, you spent too much money and you can't keep ahead. And my first thought was the water park, not the golf course. So I appreciate you kind of straightening me out. Now, I know that you've been hearing this too, and I have a lot of people who are coming to me, and they're afraid, and they're business owners in Carbondale. They're afraid of the effects of COVID and the new resurgence mitigation. I talked to some people over the weekend and the first of this week that said, look, we've got to pay our liquor, is it liquor license fees or whatever that would do for the second or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
They're liquor licenses. And they're saying, look, we got to pay the liquor license, and we're going to pay $2,000, we've got to pay $2,800. I had different figures from different people I spoke with. And they said, you know, and we're paying this, and we don't even know if we're going to be alive, our business is going to be alive a month from now. You know, and
right.
they start talking about this, they're... You know, and they were also worried about tonight, saying, you know, what happens if we suffer any damage? We're thinking about taking the liquor bottles and liquor, anything that could be stolen out of it. That's the level of fear about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is I talked to these people by phone and by text, and I could hear it in their voice, the sincerity and the concerns about going forward and hoping that Carbondale can understand their situation, you know, and help them get forward. I mean, after I just puked all this stuff at you, Mike, I was wondering what your takeaway was.
Well, the takeaway is we a lot of these people are my good friends, and I've known them for many, many years. Some of them have gotten some good grants, some funding from the state, various state programs. But those are just sort of get me by for a little while. We're working with them on payment of their of the liquor fees and that kind of thing, even of the taxes that were collected before this started. We're giving them time to pay that. So we're working with them, and we've have a, we had a meeting with them, which I wasn't here for, but our city manager and economic development director were both there with them to listen to them just this last week. So we're staying in touch with them, and we're going to do everything we can. Restaurants and bars both are suffering here, and it's because of this, of the COVID, and you know, it just keeps going up. Jackson County's numbers aren't going up nearly as much as our neighbors. And you know, oddly enough, I tell people, we were so concerned about the SIU students coming back, and SIU did so much, and we did so much to help with that, that we didn't see an uptick at all.
And it's interesting COVID. Because I think it was the mayor of Michigan or Wisconsin said the reason the number's going up is because college students, right? Jackson County, when Mayor Henry says, not too bad, Jackson County, 25 new positive cases reported yesterday, 195. You can go to other counties adjacent to and see up to 700 or 800 active cases being managed. Within one case, let's see, Williamson County's an example that I can use this morning, 57 new cases. And they had three deaths in between Franklin and Williamson, one male, 80 in Franklin, in Williamson of female 80s and a male in the 70s. And when you say there's Williamson, there's Jackson, 57 in Williamson, 25 in Jackson, and that's kind of high, actually, for Jackson customarily.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for whatever reason, Williamson was behind us in their numbers for quite a while. I mean, I'm talking 4 or 5 months ago. And then they passed us up in the overall number of cases, and the percentage of people of those who have recovered is less than the percentage who have recovered in Jackson County. And so Williamson's really having, they've got a battle on their hands for some reason over there. And this virus is just, it's very unpredictable. So.
It's an interesting question just came in on the American Monument text line. Can you ask the mayor why the Carbondale Police Department are cracking down so much on observing all of the shutdown requirements and outdoor dining, but we can travel within a 5-mile radius and everything is good to go and people are eating inside as normal? I think you just kind of answered that question, didn't you?
I did, yes. And I get thank yous from people nearly every single day in Carbondale for what a great job we've done.
All right.
And it's hard on our businesses. I understand that. It was hard on mine. I was closed for almost 2 months. So
right.
In the beginning. So, but, you know, you can't get in close proximity with people you don't know, you know, that are outside your family and not wear a mask and expect to not get COVID. I mean, you just can't. It's a simple matter of science. And people want to be defiant. Well, that's fine. But don't be defiant in my city.
Okay. All right. One of the business people that you and I both know has just sent me a message and said you want to work with those businesses. They say they want to work with you, too, saying, well, I've got to leave some of this out because it's business information. There's some type of documentation that you need or application that needs to be submitted to the city clerk. Is that right? An affidavit, notarized, something about the help here? Can you give them some direction?
I don't know what that is.
Well, they're talking about help and liquor licenses that you and I talked about earlier.
I'm not sure. I honestly, I'm sorry, but I don't know what that
right.
would be.
Well,
it may just be a formal document asking for a delay just for our files,
okay.
So that somebody looks back on this, the auditors, in a year or two, says, why are these people late paying all this stuff? Then we have a reason.
What should I tell them about reaching out to you so they can learn more about this help and what you can do to help?
They can call my office at City Hall. They can call me, and my cell phone is out there. And they can call Steve Mitchell at City Hall, and he's handling a lot of this stuff for us. He's our director of economic development, and he's been doing a really good job of standing up and getting out there in front of these things. So we're interested in taking care of them. We really do. We really want to help them. And trust me, I'm a businessman. I realize it's tough. That's the hardest part of this whole situation.
Well, I just made sure to confirm they hear this and saying yes, and they'll call you, okay?
Yep.
We want to be able to help our folks, and that's one of the reasons why we're here in this text line. Here, somebody just sent me a note saying, man, you know, you can read the flyer. There's probably not any Antifa members listening to you this morning. They're probably
right.
not a big fan of the program.
Yeah,
so they wake
I
up
don't
at
think
noon.
So. Hey, wait, I don't think so.
Yeah, they wake up at noon and go to Starbucks with mom's credit card and listen to NPR, not WJPF, LOL. So thanks for that.
Dear.
I think that was Mark from Elkville sent that note in this morning. Hey, what about cure funds? You know, I did note in a gubernatorial press release, the executive press release last week, that some of those cure funds were redirected to universities, not SIU, but that some of those cure monies are being redirected. That was exact phrase term from the press release. What about the city of Carbondale and cure funds? Brad Cole reached out to me earlier this week and said they have really broadened this out when it comes to what you can use this money for when it comes to municipal workers.
Yeah, they have. And so we can use it for, well, nearly for anything. Public works projects, keeping our people on the payroll. They really have broadened it a lot and given us a lot more flexibility in what we can do with it. And, you know, they've done the same thing with some of the grants and things from DCEO for private businesses also, and allowing them on these grants, especially the big grant. You know, we had several businesses got some pretty good money from the big recent round of big grants, and there's another round coming. And so we're looking forward to that also.
Mike, high note before we leave, because we've had all kinds of stuff from COVID and everything else that we're concerned about, vandalism. I even got people that send me photographs over the last 2 days of piles of bricks being pre-positioned in Carbondale along the railway. I know the Canadian National Railway was contacted. I thought maybe at this point we could end on a high note. Do you have one?
No, we're aware of those piles of bricks, and we're aware of some heavy bags that have rock and gravel in them, too. So we're not real sure what's going on there, but it's something that we're very much aware of, and we're going to keep an eye on it. So
good.
Nobody's going to build a barricade on the railroad tracks, I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah, well, I've had so many people who sent those photographs to me, and the vandalism, too, that they're worried about in their community.
Yeah.
That's been an increasing problem as well. So,
yeah, the state police are backing us up. So, and typically in that situation, we pull our folks into the core of Carbondale, our police department. The state police will take care of the outlying neighborhoods and that sort of thing. And so we're ready to deal with it. I don't expect a violent confrontation because we do know these folks, but things can escalate. You just never know.